to say to Happy New Year to everyone. We haven't started with our program officially, but as you know, that beginning of the year, we want to deal with some sort of work that we thought that we needed to make a follow-up on. This morning, and thank you very much for coming. You know, we, as in terms of our program, ladies and gentlemen, this morning we were supposed to have a national treasury. I understand that it has not been changed in the Parliament program. However, National Treasury is busy with the preparation for the budget this morning, so they have requested to come tomorrow, and we thank NYDA, excuse Mr. Moulin, we thank NYDA for agreeing to come this morning. But well, with the youth, you don't ask too much. You give instructions. What needs to be done? Youth must just oblige. That's all. I see the delegation is getting fatter and fatter. I don't know if I don't know if everyone is here now, but we would like to start now. Just for the sake of us, members, you know, last year we had a number of departments or entities that we thought that we needed to make some follow-up this year in order to clarify one or two things, just to make sure that we were singing from the same page. One of them is the National Treasury. Remember, with National Treasury, we had in one of our engagements with them, one heated engagement with them around the role of National Treasury. National Treasury, they have got their own understanding, and as a parliament, we have a different understanding of what the role of National Treasury is. We'll talk about that tomorrow. And one of the entities that we thought that this year we also needed to invite, now I see all the bags of money of NYDA are here now, we can start. One of the entities that we thought that we needed to have a conversation with this year was the National Youth Development Agency. You would recall during the annual report that we thought that there were challenges that we needed to look at. However, we inherited NYDA from the other committee. When we inherited the oversight over NYDA, we never had time to sit down with NYDA and have a common understanding of what their objectives are. And we found that on the way, it appeared that we didn't have a common understanding of what the goals of NYDA are. Hence, this meeting. This was as a result of the request of a suggestion by members that we need to have this kind of conversation with us going forward. That so that if we allocate resources, we should be clear in terms as to what is the what are those resources going to achieve. May I state welcome Mr. Stephen Mogheni, the Chief Executive of the NYTA, and that's to say to NYTA and to members of NYTA that we send NYTA an invitation and a program. And subsequently, we had some discussion with NYTA, who welcomed this opportunity, but also so that all of us we could have the same, what you call, understanding. But I know there's a suggestion to make, and I think we are open to that suggestion because in fact the suggestion that they want to make, as you know, NYTA they want to just go one step or two back. So that we can have the same understanding. Mamam Fuz, I don't see you there. You very much at the back there, you know. But, okay. Now it's fine. It's fine. You say that you don't want NYTA to run through that door. If they try to do that, you can block the door there so that no one runs out of that door without your permission. Can I invite CEO?
Thanks very much, Chair.
That's true, sorry. That's to put everyone at ease. You have not been invited this morning to account on your performance and what. So, I say, so this is a cordial meeting. Just for all of us to understand each other, so that from here we really have the same understanding. But remember, they are saying they give you, or they gave you last time, 376 million and all that. Yeah, and so forth and so forth. And you have this number of programs, and on those programs that you have, the members, honorable members, are really, I mean, would want to have the same understanding of yourself that those programs are intended to achieve those goals and the approach and everything is the same. But I thought that I just wanted to add that. Thank you very much.
After all this said, then you are still going to follow this program. You are still going to follow this program. And we just add those where they fit.
Just on a light note, NYDA, you know, is the abbreviation. It consists of four letters, but they must actually drop the first two letters and leave the last two letters.
I don't know. No, I said to NYTA, this is the cordial meeting. Mr. Ngobe.
Once again, thank you very much, Chairperson. I must start off by saying we, under your leadership, do not have much time today. But what we would love to do is to follow through what we think are the most important points for the committee to begin to understand the NYMDA even better. This is not an understanding of us as individuals, but the understanding of the organization. We have opted to break down the presentation into a couple of chunks, because we thought that we should be giving the committee the opportunity to digest and to see clarity, and then we can move on to the next item. However, I must indicate that the plan is to cover the entire program today and not have it encroaching to tomorrow. Our presentations are prepared such that they are very short, they are concise, and they are accompanied by source documents for reference purposes. But we will just highlight what these source documents are in the presentation. We hope that today, and in fact we believe that today, will be granted space and the necessary patience for us to walk through these things that we think are important, so that as we engage further in our account platforms, we then can speak about the common ground. Without wasting much time, Chair, my name is Stephen Kubeni, for the benefit of those who do not know, the CEO of the NYMDA. The delegation indeed has become a fetter. I wanted to avoid that because it could mean many things. Fetter is in individuals accumulating a lot of mass, or fetter is in the delegation having more people. But I am the CEO of the NYTA, and accompanying me to my extreme right is the COO, the Chief Operations Officer. I'm sure that the committee has not seen her face-to-face before. Her name, she comes to the committee. Okay. Her name is Magdalene Monsami. Oh, and next to me is the Chief Magdalene Monsami. And next to me is the Mr. Mani himself, the Chief Financial Officer of the NYDA, Katu Michael Ramokumba. And to my left immediately is the GM in my office, his name is Clayton Peters, and next to him the Executive Manager for Service Delivery Channel, responsible for all the branches, Daniel Fansiren, and next to him is Vincent Mulaudzi, the Executive Manager for Corporate Services, that includes HR, and next to him is Zoantu Ntlangeni, Executive Manager, Corporate Partnerships. And next to him is Tebogo Sizane, the manager responsible for strategy in my office. It should be Linda. Okay, next to her is Linda Shova, the executive manager for communications in the NYPA. And next to her is Sivwe Mokoka, the executive manager of policy and state. And behind me here is Zandile Mawela, who is the liaison officer for us here in Parliament. There are two colleagues that are supposed to be joining us. I guess they will be coming a bit late. It's Tamara Mawasa, the executive manager for development, economic development, and Nkuseng Mpahlele, executive manager for National Youth Service and Skills Development. We will be having them join this delegation. The posture we have taken, Chair, is to have colleagues presenting this thing. You know, on a lighter note, is because one is no longer necessarily youth, we might not be coming back in the next term to the NYDA, by choice, not by shoving and pushing.
and the equipment is proper for us to expose the committee members to the management of the NYDA and what is it that they really do, so we can also have the opportunity of hearing from the horse's mouth what they're doing. So without waste of time, the first presentation, which is on due diligence, the measure and the mandate of the NYDA. Yeah, we will. I was going to also suggest that we have a talk of the committee. I know that you have actually come to East London and Derek, but it's very important that you see the head office itself and the other offices in the provinces. I thought that that talk will be organized at the expense of the NYDA, part and parcel of our educational responsibility to the public health, to the work that they're doing. So I'm sure we can be able to manage that. The first presentation, Chair, will be done by the COO, Magdalene, and over to her. Just need to sit on that thing.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having us, but let me start by conveying compliments and apologies at the same time for being late. My apologies to the CEO and the committee. Yes, but it was a play, but it caused me to be late. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I will be presenting on the due diligence merger and mandate of the National Youth Development Agency. The first point that I want to make is the issue of background to the merger. What was the context and rationale? And I think we are all aware that there was a dire need to look at what was the state of youth development institutions in the country and how we needed to strengthen those youth development institutions. And there was a need then to create an institution that would reflect on this opportunity to strengthen the dispensing of youth development to young people. And the context, therefore, is located in the Constitution, looking at how then is government expected to make available opportunities for young people, especially in relation to their day-to-day needs, education, skills, employment, etc. But also looking at what then became the broad economic policy frameworks. What were the urgent needs to use economic policy framework within the country, as well as link that then to what were the urgent challenges facing young people, in particular the issue of growing unemployment. And looking at how we have been able to or unable to mainstream young people in the economy, and that remained one of the major challenges that we experienced. And what we will know is that we had the National Youth Commission Act number 19 of 1996, which was then the custodian of youth policy coordination and development. And we also had the Remutualization Levy Act number 40 of 1998, through which Umthobomvu Youth Fund was established in 2001. And finally, we were looking at the South African Youth Council, which was the umbrella body that was responsible for youth organizations throughout the country, and looking then at how did the aspirations of young people on the ground were being able to be represented through SAIC, but looking at how do these different organizations fit into a youth development framework, and what then did we need to do to ensure that we had an institution that would deliver on all the expectations of young people. The establishment of the NYDA, honorable members, was around the issue of the duplication of the two institutions. This was one of the major issues that were being flouted by young people. What were the realities in terms of projects, delivery, research, and it, of course, there was a point at which mandates were overstepped. And this could have been for many reasons. One of the reasons, of course, was the very minimal funding of the National Youth Commission, which was located at the time in the presidency. And the other issue was around administrative pensions, which of course frustrated or to an extent stifled ability to perform. Performance was marginal, etc. And this was starting to look at then how did we see the low rate of youth participation in economic activity, and to a large extent not only diagnosis of the problem but also delivery in terms of program needed to be harmonized, and there needed to be a coherent view and approach of what and how we needed to approach these challenges. And of course there needed to be the promulgation of the National Youth Development Agency Act, which provides for the following. And these are just the succinct issues that are raised here. In terms of how do we create and promote coordination of youth development matters, the merger of the two institutions into one, the objects and functions of the NYDA, the manner in which the NYDA will be managed and governed, the regulation of staff matters and financial affairs, and the mandate of the agency has been, of course, to develop and integrate youth development strategy for the country for young people, and of course the National Youth Development Policy. And these are some of the observations that of course led to what then became necessary for there to be a moving forward, and how would systems be put in place, and how would we then be able to crest some of the challenges that were faced by the two separate institutions. And in 2009, we had the merger between the Umsobomvu Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission into the National Youth Development Agency. The presidency then had appointed a task team to conduct due diligence on both the institutions. And this task team included the Treasury, included Department of Labor, it included the Minister and the Presidency, as well as CDSA. And that was the management consultants that were appointed to project manage or to look into, the affairs of all the institutions. They were appointed by National Treasury. Now, in relation to Umsobomvu Youth Fund, the due diligence found that the operational and governance processes were in place and could be utilized as a basis for establishing NYDA operational processes. It also had found that Umsobomvu had a spending capacity of 500 million per annum. Now, in relation to the National Youth Commission, the report or due diligence found that, unlike Umsobomvu, the National Youth Commission did not primarily focus on project-related activities. And that, I think, we understand from its mandate that we looked at initially. Because it was policy coordination, driven for policy coordination within government. It nevertheless had this part of its mandate in terms of outreach as being the chief coordinator of youth development in the country. It needed to look then at how did it advance this mandate of policy coordination as could be possible through outreach. And so this is one of the reasons why it did have project-related activities as part of its mandate. The objective of encouraging other entities to commit funds to benefit the youth. And of course, as part of its lobby and advocacy function, it must simply dispense of its task with the minimal funding that it has received. It needs to coordinate government in order to get government on board to continue with its activities. And hence, due to the issues previously raised around the duplication, etc., the merger was recommended by the task team that was established. The mandate of the NYDA. The mandate of the NYDA, of course, it's one that looked at what is the situation of young people in South Africa. The challenges that we face, which go from economic challenges to education, skills, etc., all across the board. And then how do we ensure that we are able to bring together these challenges within the three, I think in particular, what we have been sensitized to as the NYDA, outside of the extensive challenges that young people face, is that it becomes difficult to dispense such a massive task of resolving all the challenges of young people as one institution. And of course, locating those challenges within the critical challenges that government has identified. The Census 2011 results confirm that youth between the ages of 15 to 34 constitute about 38% or 20 million of the total population. And that total population is 51.8 million. I think that we are all familiar with the Census 2011. And this includes estimations that the figures of youth will increase to 42%. And this, I think, is on the last bullet point, where we find the relationship that has been cautioned by the United Nations report on this bulge, this youth bulge that we've been cautioned about. And we are sitting in that bulge as we speak, as the country. And it is estimated that this bulge will persist. So we are going to have a very youthful population from now till the very late 2030s, and it has been estimated at the bottom. And what then comes the critical challenges, in particular in relation to Black African youth? And we need to locate these challenges in terms of not only what does the race categorization represent, where you have 82% of the population constituting of African youth, but also in relation to the economy. And I think that is where the NYTA has become particularly sensitized, where we have a situation of the average household income being around 103,000 of the average population, but amongst Black Africans, it's 60,000. And how does this intensify the inequalities and the poverty that young people are facing, in particular Black African youth? And I think that that is really, these are really the issues that we are. The gender distribution, we know that even on this issue, females are a bigger part of the population, but we are the most, yes, we live long, but we are the most oppressed and all of those things. But I think that the principle is that what are the implications of this youth bulge? Because we are an organization that is sympathized towards young women and young people with disabilities, what are the implications on the NYDA and on the picture for the country in relation to these realities? So once again, we are reaffirming the problems that we have been able to diagnose around unemployment and the bleak picture of unemployment in specific relation to young people. I think this is a growing global phenomenon, and it's because of the youth bulge that we need to pay more attention to it. And of course, we see the statistics, and this is followed by those between ages 20 to 24 with unemployment rate of 49%. So it's not as if it's getting any better. The statistics tell us that the picture or the closest future is quite bleak. And what then becomes the situation of expanded definition of unemployed youth? And this, we know that unemployment figures have increased to 78% for those aged between 15 and 19, and 60% for those between 20 to 24 years of age. And this is in comparison with the national unemployment figures, which stand at about 30% on the narrow definition, according to the Labour Survey, and then 40% on the expanded definition. Now, we have conducted the Status of the Youth Report 2000. We know that the last Status of the Youth Report was done 2005, 2006. If someone can just quickly jog my memory, Sivire. 2005, yes. And if we look at how long it has taken for us as young people, and to continue to keep a regular check and balance on our problems, it means that we do require as much support as possible, because the challenges have not disappeared, they have just diversified and expanded. So here we have a situation of about 2.8 million youth who are not in employment or in an educational institution, and I think that is also one of the real despondency that we are facing. Of course, ours is also located within the National Development Plan, as noted earlier, around some of the within the economic policy framework of the country. And now moving forward, how do we locate ourselves within the entrepreneurship, the employment, of the National Development Plan, which is focusing on investment. And I think that is where we need to make and emphasize the point, that if the plan focuses on investment, how do we now, within the understanding of the challenges facing young people, focus on investing in young people and their development? I think that is really. And then we have here the mandate, the target group between 14 and 35 years, that will focus on young women, young persons with disabilities and bias to rural and peri-urban youth. And of course, this is what the broad mandate of the NYDA tends to respond to. More specifically, the mandate of the NYDA is drawn from the National Youth Policy 2009 to 2014 and the NYDA Act 54 of 2008, and it aims to do the following, the NYDA. It aims to lobby and advocate for integration and mainstreaming of youth development in all spheres of government, private sector, and civil society. And I think that is some of the characters of what the National Youth Commission set out to do, bringing the two together, as well as initiating, implementing, and facilitating also the coordination of youth development programs. So what it is, the intention is to take everything that exists in the country and try and make sure that there's as much effect, that is, impact that is made with the little that we have, and to monitor and evaluate youth development interventions across the board and mobilizing, of course, for active participation in civil society engagement. Honorable members, we are now on the key performance areas, which is slide 8. And of course, here we have the 10 KPAs of the NYDA, from economic participation, education and skills development, policy and research, partnerships and stakeholder management, communication and advisory services, NYS, National Youth Service and Social Cohesion, sports, recreation and arts, health and well-being, governance, and the National Youth Fund. And from what you can see, the expectations of the NYDA are very high. And of course, we need to then look at what really are the issues that are facing young people. But more importantly, how does the NYDA envisage the future, the vision of these young people? So it's not simply saying we want to put stop gaps on what the challenges are and quick fixes. It's also to look into creating an environment, an enabling environment for young people for the future, one that is sustainable. I think that the sustainability impact of the NYDA really comes through on the KPAs. And then you have a section on definitions. And if we focus in on the section of economic participation, we know the massive challenges in the economy. To enhance the participation of young people in the economy through targeted and integrated programs. And this is where we can see the issue of sustainability, exit opportunities, but also not just quick-fix approaches. To promote, facilitate, and provide training and development opportunities to young people to enhance their socio-economic well-being on education and skills development. Policy and research, develop a body of knowledge and best practice in the youth development sector to inform and influence policy development, planning and implementation. This has been one of the most critical areas of the NYDA because we do find that the level of research and participation on issues of youth development have become more contemporary. We are not relying so much anymore on outdated journals and information from countries and experiences that we've not heard of. We've become groundbreaking in creating our own space, our own information, and creating innovative interventions through that experience. And I think that is really one of the most effective spaces in terms of informing what then becomes the way forward for the NYDA. On partnerships and stakeholder management, it is to lobby key stakeholders to implement youth development programs in accordance with the National Youth Policy. Communications and advisory services ensure access for youth to information about various interventions aimed at improving the living conditions of young people, including information and career guidance services to young people. On NYS and social cohesion, promote youth social dialogue and create opportunities for young people to serve their communities. Sports, recreation and arts to ensure the promotion of sports, arts, culture, and raise awareness to economic value within the fraternity. One of the things that we identified in the principles of youth development is that we need to ensure that young people reach their full potential and realize their own talents. We don't want to create we know that we are not a homogenous group, so we don't want to create a society of young people that think the same way, walk the same way, and talk the same way. We want to have young people that are able to venture into really what are their aspirations. Health and well-being, to improve the health and well-being of young people, to allow them to productively lead fulfilling socio-economic lives associated with responsible and sustainable nation. On governance, of course, it is to ensure that NYDA operations comply with applicable legislation and regulations governing a Schedule CA institution. The National Youth Fund establish a mechanism to enable the NYDA to raise funds for purposes of advancing and implementing programs aimed at improving livelihoods of youth. So we have remained true to our mandate. We have taken our own initiative on what needs to be done. So now I will just speak, and very briefly, because we are still going to get presentations from the other executive managers on the various divisions of the NYDA. So on economic participation, you can see from the pictures here that there are real young people who are benefiting from the programs and the initiatives of the NYDA. And what we have is providing support to young people, financial support to young people, of course, assisting them in terms of management and finances, and providing employment opportunities to young people. In the main, enhancing the participation of young people in the economy, increasing job creation and contributing towards that overall increase of job creation in the country, and entrepreneurship participation and skills development. On education and skills, once again, we'll also hear more about that. And this is to look at really how do we ensure that our technical training skills are able to be enhanced in our society. So not just focusing, and what you will see as we go along is that we've created an opportunity, even though we're not part of our mandate, to assist young people with getting into university and giving them that kind of support. But I think here in the main, we are able to see from the overall demonstration that we are able to facilitate capacity building, professional skills, development training, etc. Policy research and development, I think we've touched on that earlier, creating youth development information and knowledge that informs the public sector, private sector, civil society in developing policy planning, implementation and reviewing of all their programs related to government priorities, looking at the relevance and irrelevance of programs, and also being able to say what then becomes our next move. I think we know that youth development is a very dynamic space. We can't expect the solutions of yesterday to work tomorrow. And so it becomes necessary for us to also be conscious of the reality that from time to time, as our need changes, our approach also needs to become relevant to that. And this is where policy research and development unit becomes very critical. To facilitate youth work as a recognized profession, I think we all are aware of and can go into that, and also to look at the capacity building of youth development practitioners so that we don't have young people who are at the forefront, at the front line of delivering services, and they are unable to understand what are the dynamics of a young person, what are the issues, and how do they handle the young people, the different generations, of young people, etc. Because we are moving towards a growing born-free generation, and how are we able to make ourselves relevant to that, the post-94 generation. And of course the distribution of these research and evaluation publications that are very, very relevant. Also looking at how then do we inform but also integrate ideas of civil society and experience of civil society into our planning and policy development. There are more pictures. This is our National Youth Convention, which took place in Kimberley. I think this is one of really the most exciting and vibrant exercises of young people represented from all over the country, being able to sit together and inform and bring their ideas on what then must be the way forward on the integrated youth development strategy. That was one of our major consultation activities, how we've taken young people into the confidence of what must happen in terms of implementation of the policy directive of the National Youth Policy. Partnerships and stakeholder management, I think on this one, there are many partnerships that have been formed. The NYDA has definitely taken initiative, and it has been able to become a very tempting, I wanted to say seductive in society, but it has become very tempting to the private sector in particular, that has looked at how do they take their investments as opposed to throwing it outside and not knowing how to really direct their energy and put it into the lives of young people of the country because of the kind of work the NYDA has been doing, including working with international donor agencies. There's been a lot of work done. This is just one with the Tala Bank in KwaZulu-Natal, and that has been a consistently growing initiative, and very soon we'll be finalizing then what becomes the way forward with the contributions. Communication and advisory services, I think everybody has seen the Unlimited Youth campaign, etc., and a Limitless Youth campaign, sorry. And this, the intention, of course, is not only to increase access to career guidance, but also to ensure that we are able to take our services and our programs and make young people aware of them. National Youth Service, here we have the Duduza Recovery Project, where we had volunteers that responded during the Duduza crisis. I think that was really an indication that outside our National Youth Service program, the consciousness of young people in society is geared and ready to respond when there's a disaster. Sports, recreation and arts, I think this is where we're welcoming Pastor and celebrating everything that she has done in terms of making our nation proud for the achievements in sport. This is one of the health and well-being initiatives, in particular the one that was emphasized in terms of how do we create in relation to women in particular. Here it is the young woman. The commitment that has been made government-wide, but in particular relation to some around how do we make sure that amongst young women, their needs are met in relation to the sanitary towel distribution campaign, but also the substance abuse. We have drug rehabilitation programs, etc., that we've been working on, and the HIV and AIDS programs that we continue to link with others. That was the end of the presentation. Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, CEO.
Just a few words with regard to the mandate. It's important for us to emphasize that it has been drawn from the legislative parameters, the NYDA Act, then the National Youth Policy, and also enhanced by the expectations of the young people in general in South Africa. So it's important that we place the mandate in that context. And secondly, just to say to the committee, the National Development Plan of the country, when it was developed, consultations were done with National Youth Development Agency, but more particularly on the IYDS, when outcome of the Kimberley Convention, the draft thereof, it informed quite intensely the National Development Plan. I thought those were important gaps. This is the last part of the presentation that Daniel van Furen will run quickly, and then we can allow for discussion. Just the last part of the presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, CEO. Good morning again to all the honourable members of the committee. The part of the presentation that I will be focusing on has got a particular emphasis on the NYDA's organisational profile and particularly our footprint. It's a very short presentation, and I'm going to try and go through it with the necessary level of efficiency. The first slide really attempts to indicate the different levels of the NYDA's organisational design, starting from the top, the NYDA board, then moving to the NYDA head office, where the management and corporate support level is housed, then on to the provincial level, which is that yellow layer in the middle, then the full service branch level in blue, and then lastly the local youth office level. Very briefly, at the NYDA board level, primary responsibility is oversight of the NYDA's strategy as well as operations, performance monitoring evaluation, risk management, the implementation obviously of the board code of conduct, lobbying and advocacy on behalf of the National Youth Development Agency, and the board of course is the custodian of the integrated National Youth Development Strategy. Then at head office level, and that's pretty much the colleagues that are in front of you today, the management and the corporate support is responsible for the stakeholder management and stakeholder engagement, on behalf of the NYDA, the execution of the NYDA mandate, the employee management, NYDA service design, as well as product design implementation, operations technical support in terms of those products and services, corporate support in general, and lastly the provisioning of information on youth development services. Then at provincial level, the main responsibility is the provincial stakeholder engagement, support to the provincial advisory boards, employee management again at that level, the implementation of the provincial youth services, in other words youth development services that are provided at the provincial level, and then lastly the provisioning of information and youth development services within a particular province. Then the second last level being the full service branch, this is really where the actual NYDA products and services find expression and where they are delivered in their fullest form. It also includes district and local stakeholder engagement, employee management yet again. Very importantly, this layer is also responsible for the coordination and the management of the local youth offices, which I'll be coming to in a moment. As I've said, the delivery of all NYDA products and services, and very importantly, also the provisioning of outreach activities beyond these full-service branches. Then that last layer, local youth offices, and I need to emphasize this, and as I go on in the presentation, I'll be providing a little bit more information. The local youth offices are partnership offices that the NYDA have in partnership with primarily local municipalities, but also some FET colleges as well as national NGOs. The purpose of these local youth offices across the country is to provide an access point for young people to have better access and accessibility to the NYDA products and services. The service delivery and service provision at that level is limited, given the fact that we are dependent on the resource provided by the partner, by that municipality or FET or NGO. So it's true sense of a reference point or a referral point or an access point. But very importantly, these offices are also crucial in the participation of municipal programs and processes such as your IDPs, even in terms of inputting into your LED strategy. And lastly, also the provisioning of outreach service at that level. Moving on then to the governance structure on the next slide of the NYDA. I don't think members of the committee would be completely unfamiliar with this slide. The executive authority to whom the NYDA directly reports is the presidency. Underneath that you have the NYDA board, which I've already elaborated on. Then the NYDA board has got the board committee, as indicated there. Very quickly, it's the HR and Remuneration Committee, the Audit Committee, the Credit Investment Committee, the Development Committee, and the Executive Management Committee. Those are all legislative committees. And those committees are board committees in terms of the NYDA Act.
The last committee, however, the Provincial Advisory Board Committee, is a board committee established by the NYDA Board using its prerogative in terms of the NYDA Act. Then moving beyond the board and the governance structure, the implementation and administration structure of the NYDA consists of that structure. Again, this I'm sure most members of the committee would be familiar with. The administration of the organization is led by the Chief Executive Officer. And over there you have the breakdown of the various clusters. Also, as we were represented here this morning as the head of those various clusters, starting with the office of the COO, the CFO, etc. I'm not going to repeat all those clusters. Maybe just for clarity effect, some honourable members in the committee might pick up that we've indicated there the office of the executive chairperson, the office of the executive deputy chairperson. I don't want an impression to be created that those offices report to the CEO. Indeed, that is the board whom the CEO reports to. However, in this particular slide refers to the staff that are located within those offices. So in other words, the support staff in the chairperson's office and the support staff in the deputy chairperson's office as administration still resort under the CEO in terms of the NYA Act. Then moving on to the headcount, we thought it prudent to give an indication of the headcount prior to the murder in October 2009. Very briefly though, I want to reflect on the headcount of the former Umthombo Youth Fund, whom at the time of the merger had a staff complement of 382 members of staff, with an employee cost at that stage, actual cost of around 108 million rand. The National Youth Commission had a staff complement of 36, with employee cost at 11.2 million rand. So at the time of the merger, just prior to the merger, the full staff complement was 418, with actual employee cost of nearly 120 million rand. In terms of Section 197 of the Labour Relations Act, the National Youth Development Agency did not have the option to retrench any of its staff, and the NYDA had to absorb all of the staff, and there was a guarantee provided to both the staff of the former Umthombo Youth Fund as well as the National Youth Commission that their employment will be safeguarded and that they will be absorbed within the new organizational structure of the NYDA. Now moving on to the current year, at this very moment, the headcount of NYDA now, in January 2013, is standing at 387. Now this importantly is against the context of National Treasury having approved for the financial year 2012-13 a headcount of 500. At the moment, we've got 387 members of staff at an employee cost of 132.2 million rand. The budget that we've provided for that 500 members of staff as approved by National Treasury, however, the budget allows for 174 million. So at present, the organization is operating with 113 vacancies and the corresponding budget attached to that. Just an important note, of those 113 vacancies indicated there, also included in that number are 7 board members, which have been vacant for some time now, as well as the 63 Provincial Advisory Board members, of whom 18 are full-time members, and lastly, 1 independent board specialist. So those individuals form part of the 113. In the next slide, ladies and gentlemen, we try to provide an indication of the staff deployment and staff allocation per cluster within the organization. I'm sure members of the committee can go through those numbers themselves. But what you will find there is that the total headcount within the NYDA head office comes to 223 members of staff. Important there to note, and my colleagues Mari Mabasa and Feng Patlele will surely elaborate on this during their presentations later this morning, you'll note that economic development on the right-hand side in the top line, the right-hand column top line, indicating 28 members of staff. The majority of those staff, and you'll see the little asterisk next to it with a footnote at the bottom, are shared resources. As much as they are located at a head office level, they are responsible and they fulfill the function of providing product support within provinces and within branches. However, they are located at head office. The same would apply to NYS and skills development, roughly in the middle of the right-hand column. indicating 36 members of staff. Again, you will notice the asterisk there. Again, same principle. It's staff located at head office, but with the responsibility and the function of providing product support and even delivery of actual product and service within provinces and branches. Then moving on to slide 6, which is the staff headcount per branch. These are the full-service branches that we have across the country. At the moment, 14 of those branches, and you will see the indication of the headcount per branch. I think members of the committee have so far visited the branch in Durban and the branch in East London. I'm sure the committee will note with encouragement the increase in the headcount, particularly in those two branches in Durban, where I believe Chairperson and the committee that expressed its concern during his visit, and that had been remedied. As you can see, there's a significant increase in that account since the visit, and the same applies to the Eastland branch located in the Buffalo City Metro. The total number of staff within branches amounts to 154 staff. Importantly, there is to note that those of you that might have recently visited the NYDA webpage would have noticed that we've got an advertisement and an active recruitment drive, which is actually closing on the 31st of January this week, where we are recruiting 71 personnel for critical vacancies within this delivery chain to also address those 113 vacancies that the organization currently has. Then this again, Chairperson, just very high level, just to capture again and to summarize on slide 7. NYDA service delivery approach primarily consists of the provisioning of information, our products and our services directly to young people through these means. First and foremost is the 14 full-service branches, which are actual brick-and-mortar offices where young people can enter and receive advice, guidance, and product and service. 14 of those, and I've reflected on that. Those are supplemented by the 168 local youth offices across the country. As I said, these are partnership offices in partnership with municipalities, FEGs, and NGOs. Then we currently have a small fleet of 4 mobile outreach vehicles. These vehicles provide us with the ability to reach the most rural and remote areas of the country, where it might often not make sense for us to actually establish bricks and mortar infrastructure, and where the best modus of service delivery is through a mobile presence, mobile capacity. We are in process, as the CEO shared, we are also in the process of procuring additional vehicles through a public tender process to supplement our existing fleet of mobile outreach vehicles. Then very importantly, we operate a national Youth Connect call center, and we have recently, COO in the last 3 months, introduced a toll-free line. And there also for members to note the new toll-free number 0800-52-52-52, and we would also encourage members to communicate these to your constituencies and even put up this information in your constituency offices. We will gladly be providing you with marketing collateral if you so wish. Then lastly, the NYDA portal, www.nyda.gov.za, which in our understanding is still the largest depository of youth-relevant and youth-development-relevant information. Colleagues must assist me. I believe there's in excess of 21,000 pages of content that are captured within the NYDA portal, a massive resource for research purposes, for information purposes, for counting and referral services. Then we just thought to provide this graphic depiction of our presence across the country. The big yellow star indicating our head office in Durban. Then the orange star, slightly smaller, are the 40 full-service branches across the country, as indicated in earlier slide. Then you have these little grey stars, Chairperson, which we try to indicate the 160 local youth offices. You'll bear with me, we couldn't necessarily put it exactly as per the location, but it gives you an indication of where the high densities and concentration are of these offices. And lastly, the full mobile outreach vehicles, those rectangular little buses that you see there, and they're obviously mobile, and they move around the countryside wherever they are required. Then lastly, just a footnote, we also thought as part of this presentation, as led by COO earlier, and just a small addition from my side on the side of corporate services, we also thought the committee will find it useful to have insight into the NYDA's corporate profile. We're not necessarily taking you through that rather voluminous profile. We attached or enclosed in your pack, in the bag that you received, the NYDA corporate profile, which you can peruse and study at your own leisure. Chairperson, with that, thank you very much. Thank you, CEO.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. That's our first bite to the engagements today. We can open up for clarity questions or engagements with committee members. There are more that is coming.
Okay. Honourable members, there's supposed to be tea at the 11th. I don't know if this is Zanil. He will indicate the I must say Cornitiela. But my suggestion is that we started a bit late, rather whoever would like to have a cup of tea when the tea is there, but request that each one of us can just pick up a cup and come back. We're not going to break.
Well, honourable members, there you are. I suggested that we, at this stage, I don't know if you would like to raise any questions of clarity and what? Honourable Fire.
I'm saying, if you would like to, your questions of clarity and what? Is tea there? I'm informed that tea is there, so anyone then who would like to have a cup of tea can just take it and come back. Honourable Natara?
Chair, maybe I should join you and also wish him a good year, 2013, that maybe 2013 will be better than the last year. But hey, maybe just briefly, I know that there's more to come, and the question that we want to ask may be addressed later. Just not too sure how to deal with that. But I did want to ask the question, you know, when you deal with the youth unemployment and you look at the range of age that is in your presentation, you'll get fairly worried about it. Fairly worried about it as a really ticking bomb somewhere. One of the things that catch my eyes is the age. When you start from 15, and there's a bulk of it. And that being a bulk, it's also a bulk of a supposedly school-going age, and it's in the classification of it. Of course, it's not necessarily the responsibility of the South in that particular aspect. But the question that I grapple with is, what is to be done to deal with that particular challenge? Of course, there is a collaboration with the basic education slides there, but the partnership and whole thing about citation, because that's not necessarily a problem that can be resolved by the NYDA. It requires a kind of partnership. So that brings me to the National Commission's development plan. And you did say that there was a big consultation there as one of the things that you raised as well. So in grappling with these questions, your mandate and the challenge that we have, what do you think has to be done with dealing with that particular aspect? Taking note of your mandate, taking note of the what you're doing, I'm just asking the question of out-of-the-box thinking. You grapple with this as daily job or daily concerns with yourself. What do you think should be done on that particular aspect to try and orbit and try and to manage this ticking time? I mean, it's a fairly worrying age for me. and we look at the number that you are, the millions that you are calculating, in fact, that you are beginning to suggest, it requires some kind of plan to address it. So I'm asking a broad question. Maybe that question is going to be answered by a later individual presentation. 2030 years time, the development plan suggests that we should have changed. But that probably started yesterday. That's really my question. If you can help me to understand. So it's not specifically, it's a fairly just, I just want to understand how you could have that particular kind of question.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the NYDA for the presentation. I would like to specifically speak to the issue of the footprint of the NYDA. I think when one looks at the slide, it looks quite impressive if you see all the little stars indicating various offices. But there is criticism that the NYDA is not visible on the ground and that many of the offices are not operational. For example, I recently listened to a show on Ukhozi FM where young people were complaining that they do not know of the NYDA, and for example, the office in Matuba Tuba is not operational, that there are many offices that are not operational or accessible. And I just wanted to know in this current plan going forward how we will address these sort of offices that are seen to be not operational, not speaking to the needs of the young people. And then Ms. Mafeleng Somi in her introduction said that the MIDA is specifically focusing on young women and specifically on people with disabilities. Now we are currently seeing a situation where in provinces like Limpopo and even other rural areas, young children are denied access to education because there are no facilities in schools. And I wanted to know from the NYDA, in the current year, what are the programs or plans of action that you'll specifically be implementing to ensure that people with disabilities, young people with disabilities, are able to access, development and education. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. The COO started off by saying, you know, that the mandate of the National Youth Development Agency is or the purpose of the Act, you know, it was formed, was to make sure that we don't have all this, sort of different organizations dealing with youth and to get it under one umbrella. But I'm just worried, if we look at things like NASIREC and youth wage subsidies that's been talked about and that's been budgeted for, that we're also still going off on tangents and that everything is not centrally controlled from the National Youth Development Agency, and is that a way to you or isn't it at the moment? Because we seem to have sort of various things going in various ways. And then just to join Honourable Khana Merva, rural availability is one thing that's been, you know, in the forefront of this committee's mind, and that we want to see better representation of the NYDA in the rural area. Then, I just looked at the key performance areas as raised by the COO, and I'm just worried that maybe we've become a jack of all trades and master of none, and shouldn't we start concentrating on, specific areas? For instance, if we look at education in South Africa at the moment, it is of a poor standard. We can say whatever we want to. If I can just give you an example, like a number of years ago, if you had a good school, say like Boyle High in Paul or something, and they had 7 or 8 average A's, the school went over the moon. Now they've got A's. Yeah, the standards have dropped. It's just not the same. I'm not thinking that the teachers are better. The standards are just not there, and I was just wondering whether the NYA shouldn't be concentrating on the second objective being education and skills development to a larger extent, because in that way you also get to find yourself in a situation where people get economic participation because they can get into the top market. Because at the moment, the education is just not, if you pass the trick, you can sit outside without a job for a long time because there's just no jobs going around. And the standard of your education is just not good enough. If we take, the results of mathematics and learning or reading skills in grades, what is it, grade 3, 6, 9, I think, where they're testing. So we still have a time bomb, as Honorable Ron McConnell says. You know, if you look at the number of people in youth that are just not being able to create and get jobs, so, you know, if I may make a suggestion, you know, please concentrate on education and skills development more than anything else. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think these presentations were really eye-opener because we really need an institution that can link the whole dynamics of the country together, especially the fact that the statistics about youth unemployment have been raised so much. But I think much as this is a very big plate, these are forced by the need of the need of the country. What we should be saying is, how are we going to make sure that each and every youth has a better life? Because the second presentation refers to what we meet with our constituencies. We meet with the youth that is unemployed and that wishes to do something. And if there is real concentration on the youth in general, not specifically on education, because I think education comes when we talk collaborations, which I think they'll explain further, because we need to know how you collaborate with all these institutions, not necessarily departments only, because we know that sometimes you might get resistance. Because with your good mandate, we hope that all these institutions will be able to collaborate with you. How is our collaboration with these institutions which have economic power and those that have social infrastructure like education, health and all? How are you accepted? Because moving from there, we'll know what to do with our constituencies. And having confidence in you, not just saying what you don't know what to do about you, because you say, what is this NYDA doing? But if from today can understand your relationships, collaborations, and resistances you meet, so that before going forward, you should know what to criticize, where not to criticize. Because I think this was a very good eye-opener to us, because we've been coming from the criticizing point only, but after these presentations, I know it's opening you up for more criticism, but I think it will be with understanding, as long as you can know how you work with other institutions to achieve whatever we want to see happening in the communities, and especially at our constituencies, where we know that there's a lot of heartbreaking when we look at the youth. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Only 3 questions. The one is, what is your cooperation with the different municipalities in the different provinces? And where is your biggest problems you experience? The second one is, what is your major challenges now at this stage for this year? I know you have a lot of challenges, but if you identify the major one. And then the third one is the problem that the board is not actually active in place. How did this affect your activities? Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you very much. I hope that NYDA got all the questions. I didn't. If I turn from the NYDA, now it's my colleague, the Honourable Fuller.
Thank you. I just want to see the breakdown in terms of race to check how we receive. You are giving us a report, but I want to see how many African Indians according to it. I also want to see according to regions or the provinces. That in this province, this is what we reach. Down to the regions. Then we will be able to know, are we making impact or are we not making impact? And if we are failing, what needs to be done? So that we can talk around it. I can see holistically, I can see that you reach everybody. But is it really what is saying, what's on the paper? Is it really impact? Because I mean, I'm still saying, in my province, I don't even know where the NYDA offices are. NGOs, I also work with NGOs. So those are some of the things, the reality that we are dealing with. If it happens, someone goes there, sometimes there's always no visit. Three times where I sent three visits, there was no one in the office. So that's the reality that we're dealing with. So I'm saying, let us check so that we can be able to, because it's not only an NYDA issue. Ask even if we are older than 55. We also need to encourage others and show them the way. But we can only do that when we see really visibility. Thank you.
I just want to give as an exception to the my content advisor here
to raise the question that he wants to raise. I don't know to would you like to raise those questions?
Thank you very much, Chef. Thanks for the presentation. I'd just like to know the key performance areas referred to, which were aligned by the COO, are both equivalent to programs for the NYDA. In the same way that you would have programs per vote, for example, if you have the Office of the Presidency, you would have program 1, program 2, program 3, and so on. Would this be the equivalent to that? That's the first question. And then the second question, as it relates to the operational structure and the linkage between the national head office, provincial head office, and the branches. Maybe the CEO can outline, or one of her colleagues, just the scenario. What takes place when a young person is to work into the office and access a particular service, be it funding and so on? What are the transaction mechanisms that take place emanating from the branch office to the provincial office and leading up to the national head office? That's a picture of the transaction mechanisms in that. That's all. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Can I now allow CEO to respond? You're welcome to prepare those questions that you think that is covered in the program, but you can respond. How you respond?
Yeah, this is a workshop, so we'll try by all means to respond and clarify with the help of the session. I'm going to take a bite on the first few questions and allow colleagues to elaborate further by area of specialization. Let me start by emphasizing the fact that these presentations are kind of like high level, but I've indicated that they are first documents that we are attaching that provide even more elaboration on these issues we're speaking to. For example, there is the summary of the status of the youth report that gives a breakdown by race, by province, what are the extent of the problems that we are facing in as far as youth development is concerned in the country. And it will help a great deal in understanding this speech. At this stage, what we have tried to do is just to go upon what is the national footprint, where are we, what is the profile of the NYDA, and what is the mandate of the NYDA, so that we understand what is it that is given to us to do. That's what we'll try to do. At a later stage, we'll go down into highlighting government issues, and then we can talk about to also pay attention, enough attention to young people who are disabled, to pay enough attention and all those people, talk to details in the later presentation. But the first question had to do with youth unemployment, which as presented is a serious worry. And of course we all agree it is a ticking time bomb. That's one thing interesting about South Africa. We all agree on what the problem is. But when it comes to resolving that problem and implementing it, in most cases that is where we encounter problems. I must say, the way we are sitting, that in this country, we are very good in terms of policies and plans. Everything is built out. Even in the NDP recently, you'll realize that things are quite clear. This is what needs to be done. This is the extent of the problem. But the problem comes with the actual implementation, which then makes me get to the answering of the question, what is it that needs to be done for us to resolve this ticking time bomb that we are facing? I think it's important for me to also mention that we are moving from the premises that does not assume the NYDA is the panacea of all the problems that are faced by young people. We see ourselves as a catalyst that sparks the interventions by all the stakeholders, be it in the private sector, be it in government and the civil society. We are there to simply spark these interventions and set them to the right direction. We agree with you, Members of Parliament. The most important pressure point has got to do with education, has got to do with skills development of a young person. But over and above that, it has got to do with the provision of the actual opportunities. As you have correctly observed, this young person finishes matric and he or she might stay without a job for the next 5-10 years. The question is the industry, is the market presenting enough opportunities? Are the industries being biased towards this young population that needs to be? And that is where the NYDA comes in, and we kept on inviting and still going to do that, calling Sander to come on board and say there are specific interventions that needs to be done in that regard. We have spoken about the establishment of the youth directories in all government departments, but not just offices. Coming to that, we were requiring or asking government departments to have programs that are specifically biased towards young people. The NYDA can provide young people with opportunities on the health profession, for argument's sake. It is the Department of Health that must have a deliberate and a conscious plan to say for young people in this department, my budget is 100 million, 40 million goes towards interventions for young people, and that includes training doctors, training them as nurses, taking them into internships and all those things. That's what we want to see in terms of this integrated and holistic approach to development. But we're saying that intervention should also extend to the private sector. If we go to Extract, if we go to Exar, if we go to Shanduka, as mining operations, we should be able to see that this is the real investment that they are making towards youth development, and that's what we want to see. Of course, we have noted that question. It has always been bothering us. I think even Mama called me aside just before we started this meeting to ask a question about DBSA's initiative on the job fund. And the question is aligned to what you raised earlier on. But at the beginning, at the formulation of the NYDA, we wanted to have a seamless approach to youth development. You didn't want youth development that is unhiggledy-piggledy and all over the show. You wanted to be managed from the center. And what is this now? That this one proposes a youth wage strategy, that one proposes this and that and so on. It's still a matter that we are grappling with ourselves. For example, we are still trying to define how do we participate in this youth wage, I mean in the job fund itself. How exactly is the NYDA going to tap into that? How can the program of the NYDA be advanced through the jobs fund? So it's a quagmire that we are still sitting with, which must be resolved at the government level necessary. Of course, the offices, we have over time been repeating this. We have a national footprint in the country. 14 full-service branches are the most effective. I think that's what Daniel said in his presentation. they are the most effective. You have the head office and then you have the school service branches. You have a layer that is non-existent. It is there in paper in theory, but it's not there in real terms. And that layer is the provincial offices. We don't have single provincial offices. When the NYDA Act was promulgated, it also called for the repeal of the Provincial Youth Commission Act. But with that call, so went the budget for youth development in the provinces. It just disappeared somewhere there. The money that they were using in the past, they didn't allocate it to the NYDA, it just disappeared in all provinces, not just one province, but in all provinces. So we don't have a single office in all those. It was a makeshift arrangement, I must indicate that to have the provincial advisory boards to fill that particular vacuum, and which the term of office has expired in November last year. So as I'm speaking to you, we have a very huge vacuum in that area. We don't have provincial coordinating structures. We have the schools and the branches. Now, you also have a last layer, which is the local youth units. These partnerships that we have with the municipalities. What is it? What is this partnership? And within some areas, you hear complaints that it's not functional and so on and so forth. In KZN particularly, if I may speak to you, there is a general attitude from the municipalities that says a national agency can't come to us and ask for money. We must receive money from the national agency because we are national government. So you can't come to us and say, we want you to second staff, to provide information, we want you to second staff, to do career guidance, and we want us to give you offices for free and so on. There's that attitude. Some of them have signed agreements, for example, with the MIPA, but when it comes to the actual implementation of those agreements, they are then digitally. You are not so sure where they are coming or going. So you have a situation where you have an agreement in place, but it is not fully implemented. If it is implemented for a very short period of time or within their own time, they will make available people as and when they want to make them available, but it doesn't necessarily work. So we use those offices primarily as referral offices. A young person walks in and gets clarity to say, okay, you want this product and service, the best office to help you. It's one and only one office in KZN, and that is in Durban. So you must move from the panel. Find means and way of getting to them and determining to receive that particular assistance that you can be able to get from the NYDA. To understand that there are products and services that will require a governance structure that this be provided at the national level. For fiduciary responsibilities and accounting purposes, it might be required to do that. So it goes back to the concern, one of the challenges we have been raising all along, which says, we do not have enough money to be present in all offices. Even when we are present in all parts of the country sometimes, we don't have enough money to give the real service to the young people. And that's why we're calling for more resources to be allocated so that we're able to be present in those. A full service branch, Daniel, you will remind me, when we did the calculations right when we arrived in 2009, what does it take to establish and run a full service branch for a year? A branch that is like the HSB one, the branch that is like the Joburg one, the branch that is like the Cape Town one, how much does it take? And we came to an estimate of about 3.7 million. We came to an estimate of about 3.7 million. Now, you take that, if according to our wish, have a full service branch in all districts in the country, 52 districts in the country, including metros, that money should right up to, beyond the allocation of the MIPA as it currently stands. And we are unable to do that. And that's why we are also resorting to other ways, for example, the procurement of the mobile trucks, so that we are able to reach out to these young people and assist them wherever we are going to. But the full service that they can get from the NYDA can only come from an FSB, the full service, right? It can't come from a local youth unit. It can't come from anywhere. So we are as concerned about the visibility accessibility of the NYDA to the rural youth and to those who are in the remote areas. We are worried about those as much as the members that have raised that issue. I think we are sharing the same concern. Are we not spreading ourselves too thin? Are we not becoming the jacks of all trade and the masters of none? Indeed. But this is embedded in the law. We are a state entity, and this law that was passed by Parliament tells us those KPA must be covered. Now, I happen to read also a report from an ad hoc committee that evaluated the NYC, the UIF, and other capital institutions, if the members of the Singleton Board. And it's very, very much on the Ed expect you to do 1, 2, 3. You are not able to do this. Therefore, this organization does not have the capacity or it's not capable enough to do whatever it is doing. So whilst we agree with you, yes, we're getting very little and we're trying to spread ourselves all over the show. As a result, we are not making the maximum impact that we are supposed to be making, and hence our call, please, either we revise this piece of legislation, free us from these responsibilities and tell us to focus on few, or we increase the allocations and then we are able to make the necessary impact. And just to further elaborate on this point, currently the NYDA has got a reach of an average of about 1 million young people per year, currently. I mean, throughout all our services, be it career guidance, be it information provision, be it a loan, be it a grant, be it enterprise development, the young people that we come into contact with and we assist year in, year out, the 1 million. The South African population tells us that young people are 22 million in this country. And those who are unemployed, they are somewhere in the region of 4.4 million young people. And they increase year in, year out. But we are only able, we are only capable to come into contact with only 1 million young people on average. And I'm saying, given all the services, when you come to real interventions, for example, taking this young person to a technical college, the number becomes even much more less. And we are therefore not making the necessary headway that we want to make in as far as youth development and the impact to the young people of South Africa is concerned. We're also dealing, for example, with young people and conflict with the law. In Ed Tebini, about 2 weeks back, we were in the Westville prison launching a library providing resources there for all young people that are incarcerated to, you know, use that opportunity as a rehabilitation opportunity. But yes, I'm getting to a point that agrees with you to say, as we said, we are being spread too thin. And that is why the explanation to the halabaloo that you hear out there, NYDA this, NYDA that, we are not doing enough, we are not doing what we are supposed to be doing, is purely based on that. Because it can't be true that these finance men that is sitting here and the staff that are there, they just spent the whole year sitting in their laurels and doing nothing in the NYDA. It simply cannot be true. And what we have attempted to do in the presentation that we have just given, to give you highlights of some of the sites that we are working on, to show you that there are real people that we are working with. But the truth of the matter is that they are not enough, and they are very little, and that is why the remainder of the majority that is not being attended to is making the loudest noise.
I think I've explained the level of partnerships that we're having with the municipalities, but just to further clarify, there are referral offices, municipalities are expected to second staff to those offices. We provide material for information purposes, and if a young person requires a more tangible intervention, they are referred to the FFP, the full service branch, and that is where they get the services. Some municipalities, they also take the time and opportunity and implement their own budget on youth development using those offices. But some municipalities, they just expect this is a national entity, so they must do everything that they are supposed to do when we are communicating clearly what the limitations are. The KPAs, they are the key performance areas, what you would call the key focus areas. This is what the NYDA, after given its mandate, these are the areas we focus on in approaching or tackling developmental problems. We'll focus on education and training, we'll focus on those. But programs and projects is something different. It's something which is a sub-issue under these key performance areas in our own planning journal. We have a key performance area, in that key performance area, you will have programs, you will have projects. So it's a better breakdown. For example, ED, we'll be dealing with this later on, you'll realize that we have a green economy program, or we have the Valencia program. Those are programs within a key performance area of economic participation and economic
development. But I'm sure things will become even much more clearer when we move a bit deeper. If there's any question that I have not answered, I would request colleagues to assist me. Sure.
Thank you very much. I'm fine. I would have wanted to, but it's just once we go into each of the divisions, and you will see that you can interact more with the detail. This was just an overview, so that would give us a better opportunity. Thank you very much. See you.
Another Dr. Van Dijk. Welcome. Compliment of the season.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you and all the members and our visitors as well. Sorry for being late, but it is a BA problem this morning. And we had to wait 2 hours rather be safe in a country from Cape Town. Thank you.
I've got your apology. Okay. The honorable members, I think it is so correct to say this was just an intro. She says we mustn't rush, the meet is coming. I'm just worried about time. I think all your slides are important, but maybe we might have to prioritize them, you know. We are in your hands now.
Yes, I think we're not so much out of track. I don't think so, because we've even cancelled tea that helped a great deal. So we can run into the next two presentations, and I will insist on calling being very brief and short in that regard, so that it allows for discussion. What is the agenda? Oh. It's product, NIDA product and services. We'll be dealing first with the product in the Department of Economic Development, and then we'll deal with the product in the Department of National Youth Service and Skills Development, and then we will deal with the sponsorships or the projects that are initiated by young people themselves, and some who are coming to the NYDA looking for assistance. We'll cover those, and that too is supposed to take about 30 minutes. Samari will be starting the presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Professor. And colleagues from the NYDA. One of the programs offered by NYDA is economic development, or one of the units within economic development. We have the business development services. Sorry about that. Thank you. We have the business development services and enterprise finance and the rural development, which will answer some of the challenges that are facing youth in South Africa. As we know that young people in South Africa, they are lacking entrepreneurship skills, and due to the low labor market and entrepreneurship level, together with the lack of, skills, in terms of technical skills or any soft skills, we are doing the entrepreneurship development program to create that conducive environment for young people to access relevant entrepreneurship skills, knowledge, values, attitude for their businesses and services. Within the entrepreneurship awareness program, we offer the awareness program, it's a one-day program to a group of young people where we teach them and show them that it's important for somebody to to value themselves and view if whether they can go out and have businesses, because as you know, we can't all have businesses, but some, they need to be motivated to own their own businesses. And the second program within the entrepreneurship development program is that we offer the success program where we give young people who are in business financial management training and business management training. That program takes normally 5 days. The second program within the business development services is the business consultancy service voucher. The business consultancy service voucher, it offers services such as business viability study, where we get a consultant or a service provider to assist a young person to develop their due diligence or feasibility study for their businesses. We offer the business management training, branding and design, marketing and professional promotional material, especially if the young person wants those marketing materials to be printed, business operations, services and systems, such as your HR systems, your quality management systems, entrepreneurship and BEE training, including the certification. We offer a program again on the business development services, which it's called a business mentorship program. This program is aimed at transferring business management skills and knowledge to youth in businesses through providing a guidance and coaching from the experienced volunteer mentors. We link as well young people in business, young people who are in business with the market, where we teach them as well to do the teaching, the presentation skills, and provide the support in terms of the BEE for compliance. The second program is an enterprise finance. Due to the lack of financial support in South Africa, which is caused by the access to the financial literacy, the attitude to the bank, the BEE code, and the lack of awareness of development finance, the financial confidence that our young people doesn't have. NYDA is offering the SME loan, which is a loan ranging from 100,000 to 5 million rand. Micro loan, which ranges from 1,000 to 100,000 rand. Sorry about that. Microfinance is provided to young people who are coming to the NYD needing financial assistance as individuals, cooperatives or groups. So that's how it's dispersed. And together with the SME loans, we give the cooperative within the SME, which means it will be the loan that ranges from 100,000 to 5 million. The last program, We have a challenge as well in South Africa where young people from rural areas are losing hope. They are coming to the urban areas because they believe that's where they can get more exposure. We are reaching more young people now in rural areas. We visit the young people as well through two programs at the NYDA, which is Community Development Program and Cooperative. Within the Community Development Program, we identify and facilitate the opportunity within the community to empower the young people within the communities through a provision of capacity building interventions and access to financial and non-financial services to better their environment. Within the cooperative services, we motivate young people to form cooperatives in areas of their interest, and we facilitate the registration of these young people to be registered, and we support them in rural value chain, and analyze those cooperative business cases and advise them for the statutory compliance. We have two special projects at the NYDA. We have in 2010-2011 financial year, we developed a concept of a green economy strategy, green economy concept, where we identified or research on programs that young people can get involved into. This includes a project in water and waste management projects, energy and renewable energy, integrated agribusiness development, air quality management and climate change, and professional development and training within the green economy space. This project is anticipated to run over 5 years at an estimated cost of 5.7 billion, where we are estimating at least 2,714 young people in South Africa to benefit from this program through SME development. So 2,714 will be developed, SME developed, and then with a total number of 322,825 jobs created. Due to the inadequate economic growth in South Africa, we have developed the Ikubalenta Microenterprise Program. NYDA developed this innovative strategy for job creation through youth enterprise promotion and development. This was designed to incorporate NYDA financial and non-financial services. The services include identification of young people, training them or providing a technical training to these young people, and providing a loan to them for responsibility, linking them to the market, and again providing mentorship to these young people. In 2012-2013 financial year, which is from last year to this year, 2,560 young people benefited from this program. There's a criteria for funding that we are using at the NYDA. The young person who wish or requires a loan should be a South African, age between 18 and 35, hold a South African ID, and residing in South Africa. Business is expected to be operating in South Africa as well. They might have a business idea, concept, startup, early stage, or at the expansion stage. They are expected to be operationally involved on a day-to-day running of the business, where a hands-on management is required. They will be required to comply with the legislation and regulations of our country. They will go to do the credit checks, and if the project within the micro enterprise for micro, which is from 1,000 to 100,000, and is within the incubator, they must be willing to go through the 5 pillars that I've mentioned, which include the training and them to be mentored, agreed to be mentored, and agreed to be linked with the market as well. The business must be viable, have a good prospect for profitability. That's another thing that we look for. And it must indicate the good repayment for a specific time. I think that's it. Suseng will come and highlight some of the difference between the skills and development.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members.
My presentation will focus on the division of the National Youth Development Agency, that is the National Youth Sector Skills Development Division. Okay. In this division, we offer direct services to young people, and especially we are looking at out of school, unemployed, and to some extent we do in-school youth as well. We respond as a division to all the key performance areas of the National Youth Development Agency, and we are structured into three units, whereby each unit is responsible to deliver a bigger program with different sub-programs and projects under it. So we have the National Youth Service Unit, and the National Youth Service Unit is responsible for implementation of the National Youth Service Program. We have another unit called the Skills and Training Unit. There we focus on all our education and training interventions. And we have a third unit, the Center for Youth Development Practice. According to the NYDA Act, the National Youth Development Agency is supposed to ensure the professionalization of its work, and this is the unit that is responsible to deliver that mandate. Moving on to the next slide. Moving on to the next slide. This slide describes the process from when a young person comes into our program up until they exit. So as a division, we work with various partners. We work in partnership with government departments, we work with the private sector, we work with non-governmental organizations. In all the work or the partnerships that we try to establish, we identify opportunities either for training young people or for service placement or for jobs. And once a project has been identified, we conceptualize it to come up with a concept of to say what kind of project this is going to be, what are the learning areas that the young people go through, how long it will take, and how many youth it can accommodate, and how many, who are the stakeholders. Then, where a partner, for instance, if it's a department that is going to build a prison somewhere, has got some specifications of what kind of youth we are looking for, we would advertise for those youth. We source them also from the database of the Department of Labor, from our own database. We advertise through the social network. We try to get as many young people to apply as possible. And then we would go through an assessment of whether or not they will fit into the program. And based on that, they then are channeled into either technical skills training, life skills training, and when it is required, there are also opportunities for work placement. In all the work that we do, especially in this area, we try also to identify upfront the exit opportunities. So, and we define them in terms of three streams, whether this young person will complete the program, and there is an option that they can go into self-employment, whether they would want to continue further education, whether they would want to volunteer or just go into leadership. And our case management model involves when our young people are in the program, there is coaching services that are provided. We realize that young people are dealing with issues on a daily basis, and it becomes difficult for them to cope in the program, so we provide counseling services and we try and follow up and do aftercare with them. And now going deeper into the details of the implementation of the National Youth Service Program, let me mention, honourable members, that National Youth Service is a program of government. NYDA is just a vehicle that is implementing it. There was a National Youth Service Policy Framework for 2008, and there was an implementation plan that was adopted by Cabinet in 2003, and all organs of state are supposed to implement the National Youth Service, and according to the implementation plan, it defines these three categories in which the programs can be implemented.
In the category A, it is a structured program whereby, because we are focusing on out-of-school unemployed and skills, the program has to take place at least in a period of 6-12 months. And the learning that needs to happen, it has to bear credit so that the youth at least can continue with better education. Second category focuses on us providing opportunities in communities where young people that are in FET and higher education can go and offer services in their communities. An example that we had there was the project we did in Equity Learning, where our students from BEST that were majoring in math and physics offered extra meditation on Saturdays to schools in the neighborhood. And the category three model is just basically encouraging young people not to just sit at home and do nothing, to identify opportunities in their community where they can serve and network and build social ties. The thinking is that with that, young people can associate and young people can be able to be fed and possibly getting to participate into the economy. On category one, let me mention that our main partner, that is government, for example. We have been implementing a lot of national youth service programs across government departments. We realize that because we are not a line function, we don't have tangible work that we can use to train young people. But if we go to Department of Housing, they build houses, and we can train young people to undertake several trades in the building. So we need a partnership with housing. And like that, we go to each and every government department at national, provincial, and local level to see if they do have those opportunities and we enter into partnership. The one project that we are implementing is the youth in housing, for example, which basically we implement in partnership with the Department of Human Settlement. We also have a new model which we call the Youth Build South Africa. This one goes further than just training, service and exit. It also includes trying to assist them with general education. It also includes leadership and counseling. So that we say some of them who have maybe they'll succeed. We need to help them get general education so that maybe when they come out of the program, they could also attain a matric certificate. But also leadership so that they can be more aware of the issues in their community and they can be an ambassador of government, especially in relation to the delivery of services. I've spoken to the category two where we did math and science. And then the last category of volunteer model, you will recall we are all having AFCON right now. As the National Youth Development Agency, we have identified young volunteers who will participate in the program and taking various activities. I mean, from receiving VIPs, dealing with services at the airport, at hotels, at tournaments, across all functional areas of the tournament. We train young people, prepare them so that they can receive our visitors. We did that also with the FIFA Vision World Cup. We did that with our co-preventing, which was held in Durban last year, and we have also, when it's disasters, they're able to unleash the volunteers that can go into communities and assist. Then on education and training, one intervention that we have in that space is the jobs as well. We currently have 18,783 job seekers that are listed on our database. And we define jobs to mean not only jobs as in working for, we also extend it to cover learnership and internships. This is a free service for young people and also for potential employers. It only involves completing of application forms as a person so that you can upload your information on the system, and later on when a request comes from a potential employer, we are able to link you up with the employees. This is the service that is offered in all our 14 branches and on a daily basis. We also do go out to identify Cook Green projects. I remember last year the members of the portfolio committee visited one of the projects in KZN, which is focusing on call center. We had about 500 young people which were in the call center industries. We are working with also another company, Human Resource Support Solutions, where we are organizing for these young people to go and be placed in SMMEs. So these are some of the initiatives that we do outside of placement requests that come on a daily basis. Moving on, the National Youth Development Agency also recognizes that young people are unserved, especially in respect of information, especially career information. We're talking here about young people that are in rural areas, in those rural schools. We do have partnership with the Department of Basic Education, especially in the provinces. We work very closely with the districts. They give us access to schools, and we visit those schools. We give them information on study, career study schools, bursaries, universities, PT colleges, and we kind of take them through making decisions about their careers. Study a campaign is one that is currently about to start. And as it says, they have just completed matric. They are overwhelmed with the information probably presented to them. NYDA sits down, sits the information and says, okay, look at this, the options that you can have as a young people. And we also have another flagship program of the agency, the NYDA Second Chance Matric Rewrite Program. Because of the challenges that young people experience when they do not have a matric certificate, this program is very important. We started it in 2010-11, and we are now implementing it in the second round. The first round of implementation was not very good. We had a huge dropout rate. Out of 2,000 that registered, about 40% dropped out, and overall the results were not good. We changed a number of things on the implementation of that program. Initially, we were focusing on a minimum of four subjects. Four or fewer subjects, especially math, not math literacy, English, physical sciences, and accounting. In the second phase, we expanded the subject choice to cover almost all the subjects that are in matric. And then we also increased the contact time with the facilitators. We then achieved almost an 87% pass this year. Eight distinctions overall, and our learners, most of them, they were very excited. There was one learner who got 87% pass in mathematics, and he was just waiting for that to go and claim his place at the industry of development, and that is just one example. Moving on, we also implement now for out-of-school technical skills training programs, which focuses on artisans, and we also look at accelerated artisans. And these are the skills that we cover. Construction, I can mention there that we have a partnership with the construction sector, which will cover internships, apprenticeships, and development of citizens in the construction sector, as they are outlined here. We also have a new program that looks at the bursaries and scholarships for the youth that come from disadvantaged backgrounds. And there is a huge demand for this intervention. We take these young people to FHT colleges, universities of technology, and universities. And last year we funded 114. We are busy processing over 3,000 applications that we received in December, which we have to plan for this year. We currently have youth that are studying overseas, and this, the two is really through the partnership with the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. And lastly, we have the Center for Youth Development Practice. As I mentioned earlier, the NYDA's mandate also is to make sure that youth work is recognized as a profession. And we are working with universities, the University of Pretoria, the University of Venda, to say, can they have qualifications in youth work? And can we begin to encourage young people to register for that qualification? And while that process is still going, we are developing unit standards that are targeting those youth workers that are currently in the sector but without much of education, and we give them unit standards that we have developed and accredited with the relevant sector as the National Youth Development Agency so that we can train them and give them those unit standards that we can continue after their program. Level chairperson, I think we've covered all in the space of National Youth Service and Youth Development. Thank you.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen.
This presentation is done just by ladies. Just ladies.
Morning again, and thank you for the opportunity. Mine is very brief. I'll be focusing on donations and sponsorships and how it is that we manage them within NYDA. You will have heard our COO mentioning the fact that we're running what we're calling a limited youth campaign. This is a campaign that kicked off in April of last year. And really, this is a campaign for us that speaks to how we connect with young people, but also for us to be able to share some inspirational and motivational stories about young people that are already making major strides in whatever spaces they're in against all odds. So even in terms of our donations and sponsorships, we're really trying to support those young people that are doing it for themselves out there. These are young people that have been able to show that their obstacles really don't define their destiny, and that really their potential far outweighs their limitations. So we are keeping our finger on the pulse in terms of trying to identify those young people, those that are running their own NGOs, CBOs, supporting communities, and really running their own youth development programs in the different spaces that they're in various communities in and around the country. And here we are identifying young people that are specifically in township areas, your very own spaces, as well as rural development. So you'll see there that we were able to give you some examples of programs that we've been able to support. And, you know, we're very proud of these particular initiatives, and we've tried to also publicize them amongst other young people so they can serve as inspiration to them as well. An example of a young man called Tulani Madondo in Soweto, who started the Cape Town Youth Program. We were able to support him with a sponsorship package of in excess of 400,000 rand. This is a young man that's running this program in Soweto, assisting young people in education and skills, but also feeding scheme. He was one of 10 CNN heroes, the only African to have made it that far. I don't know if you've heard, there was a lot of fanfare in the media, also through Morning Live. So we're very proud to be part of that particular program, and we continue to support him through our skills and development unit. Hillbrow Entrepreneurship Program. This is a program, once again, started by young people in Hillbrow, where they've identified the need to assist young homeless people to get off the streets by actually becoming entrepreneurs. They were able to assist with 100,000. And I'll appeal to you to actually take note of those websites and visitors to actually go onto those websites to find out more about these programs. It got the Entrepreneurship Program conference. This was held entirely trust. We assisted this particular platform as well from an economic development perspective. You would have heard the CEO also mentioning a partnership recently with Rational Services in Durban. We were also able to assist with computers as well as educational material that went to that particular library in Westville Prison. So these are just a few examples of how it is that we're assisting young people to really be able to, you know, improve themselves in whatever spaces they're in so that they can also be beneficial to their own communities in giving back. Further details are available on our website in terms of other programs that we've been able to support. And I've got to take this opportunity, CEO, through you. We've also got the Limitless Youth TV series. This particular TV show started 3 weeks ago, currently airing on SABC 1 on Sundays at 1 o'clock. It appeals to you to tune in. Once again, another opportunity for us to really be able to elevate what young people are doing for the country, but also for us to educate young people and create awareness about the NYDA. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Captain, honorable members and the CEO and the colleagues from the NYDA. What I'm going to be giving to is a very short presentation. Some of the figures and the numbers you would have seen before in our previous engagement, but really the reason for this presentation today is to indicate how we're deploying the resources that are allocated to us in relation to the business activities of the NYDA. And mainly what we want to highlight in this presentation is an indication that the spend of the budget is in line with the operations of an institution that was inherited. So we will be giving you a detailed indication of the allocations as well as how we deploy that. I thought it would be important just to give a brief historical account of how the NYDA has been funded since inception in 2009, so that we can have an appreciation of what the NYDA has been receiving year on year vis-a-vis the money that the NYDA has or placed on it by the NYDA Act. I think it's important to know it's an indication that the COO would have made reference to when she was giving the background to the merger, that the due diligence that was conducted at the time had indicated that as far as 2008 that institution had the capacity to spend a budget of about 500 million per annum. So if we can then fast forward to 2015, we can then see that had that institution been started at that level in 2009 at inception, maybe at this point we would be closer or being funded at a billion rate that we will speak to at the later presentation that I will give to yourself, honorable member. The budgetary allocation has been 278 in 2009-2010, 369 in 2010-2011, 385 in 2011-2012, and 376 in 2012-2013. You will see that there has been a drop in the budget allocation from the 2011-2012 financial year to the 2012-2013 financial year. And the year that we are in now, or rather that will be starting on the 1st of April this year, the budget allocation is 396 million. Now, I've given this slide, which is something that you probably have seen before, but I thought that part of what we need to be to indicate to yourself is that over and above the grant allocation that we receive every year from National Treasury through the Presidency, the loan facility program that we are running also generates some revenue in a form of capital repayment as well as interest charged on those respective loans. So I've then taken the 2012-2013 financial year, which is the financial year that we are in, as a baseline of an indication of how then the budget gets deployed in terms of the current structure of the NYDA and its delivery system and program of its products and services. You will note that once again we try and show the split between salaries that are related to support staff and salaries that are related to project staff. And I know that the last time we had we made a presentation of this nature, there was some debate in relation to what is project staff salary, what is support staff salary. Basically, what we account for as project related salaries are salaries that are directly attributable to a delivery of a particular program. For an example, here you are speaking about typically a loan officer on a day-to-day basis will be dealing with ensuring that when a young person walks into an office of NYDA, that young person finds assistance to make sure that that young person receives that particular loan. Whereas if I can make a typical example of what would allocate or indicate to be a support staff would be, for an example, an HR employee. So if this HR employee, for an example, was to decide that they are not coming to work or they are not going on strike, young people will still save it, so youth development will still happen. Whereas if you take the flip side of the coin and you say that these employees who are dealing with young people on a daily basis, ensuring that it never happens, if they would decide to down to nothing would happen, youth development will not happen. So that is a distinction that we try to make, although we classify it collectively as salary. And then on administrative costs, we're spending about 68 million. This cost relates to almost what we can refer to as unavoidable costs. These are costs that we can't do without if we are to continue running the institution that we have inherited in its current capacity to ensure that a youth development program continues to be implemented. As well as overhead costs, we are spending about 14.1 million. Equally, yes, these are the costs that we cannot avoid. We need to pay rent to all the 14 branches that we are currently having, and we need to make sure that these offices are able to operate on a day-to-day basis. We then have what we call pure project the project costs. These directly deal with project expenses That has nothing to do with other indirect costs that we can allocate. Here you are talking about a direct loan, here you are talking about a direct intervention of killing a young person to be a bamba or to be a whatever a training intervention or awareness problem that we are giving to these young people. And then we see that we also have what we call the special projects. So collectively special projects and project investments, it makes the project cost. So if you add the two, you will see that we are investing in about 150 million in direct projects related programs and initiatives. The reason why we have it as special projects is that these budgets are housed within the two political offices, which is the executive chairperson's office and the deputy chairperson's office, and a small amount sits within the CEO's office, so that they can be some interventions that can be made by these offices as and when a need arises. But to put the mind of the honourable member at ease is that all these special projects that are from these offices must be within the framework of the KPIs and the KPIs of the NYD. So they do not do projects that are outside the mandate of the NYD or they approve the annual performance plan of the NYDA. We then have about 7.8 million on capital expenses. What the reason why we have invested the minimal amount on capex is that because of the funding arrangement that we have not been able to grow the organization. So the capital expenditure that you see before you is mainly just the expenditure that we carry to maintain normal operations at current capacity. So with these two the issues that have been raised, that we would ideally like to be in every district municipality with a full service price, had that been the case, we would have seen some growth or other some significant investment on the capital expenditure. Quickly pass this slide. This is just an indication of what you've seen before in a graphic format, and then I'll try and speak a little bit to this slide here. What I want to specifically speak on this slide is some information that I don't necessarily put there. If you look at the project process that I've outlined, if you add the 141 and the 8.4, you will be sitting with about 150 million on project expenditure. If you take that 150 and you relate to the grants allocated by a national treasury of 376, this accounts to 40% of total grant, which is going directly to project expenditure. But if we then incorporate as well the salaries of those who are dealing with youth development implementation directly, it will take you to about 249 million. So effectively, the percentage to total spend or to total grant on project expenditure will be somewhere around 66% if you take it to the total grant. If you take it to the overall budget that we have presented before, which includes additional income of interest income and capital repayment that we get from our loan facilities, you will find that that takes it to 66%, whereas the previous one, if you met against the total budget available to be 60%, so to the grant it will be 66%, so to the total budget to be 60%. The reason why I'm mentioning this fact is that given the current funding of the NYDA, I want to demonstrate that the NYDA is not doing so bad in terms of deploying the resource way matters, to youth development matters. The problem that we have is the inheritance of the structures we have. As indicated, we are mainly dealing with unavailable expenses, legacy issues. We couldn't release any of our employees. For an example, when the merger happened between Bumsobom Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission, we had to carry that burden. And that burden continues to burden the prospect of more investment in youth development projects and initiatives by the NYDA. So hence, we'll see when I do a later presentation on the funding model or business case for funding that we are putting before you, seeking your support, you will see that if the funding level was at appropriate or desired levels, the project or rather the equal expenditure to the grant that we should be given to the NYDA will come insignificant and minimal and within the recommended level by National Treasury. I thought that in the last slide, I was just going to break down the salary components of the NYD, the 174 million, that this is made up of about 4.3 million, which is for the national board members, and about 13.7 million, which for the provincial advisory board, and the 155, 156 million for the entire NYDA staff complement. That amount is for the full staff establishment as approved in the contract of the NYDA of 500 staff complement. So in that 155 million, or rather in the 434 million, you find savings on that salary component simply because there are vacancies that are there. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, sir. We are ready for further questions, clarity, and engagement.
I think we just right at the right time. Honourable members, I know that there is appetite to engage now, but Dara, what is the situation there? I think they're supposed they are serving lunch. I guess it's a hot lunch. The sooner we dispense with it, that's what I heard from the COO mentioning twice or three times this year. I mean, this morning, I'll also take liberty to use it. Is it ready? Are you shaking your head? The ENP get to say it's not ready. Okay, we can continue. Okay, remember we deprived NITA of tea this morning. So, at least lunch. Top members, I was informed that they would be bringing lunch around the 12:15. Apparently it's not there yet. Can I suggest that we continue until they arrive? Is there, according to the program, what else needs to be presented, by the way? Legislative framework in the afternoon. Okay. Let's engage. Sorry, Ms. Fanana, you want to say something? You want to be on the mic? I'm not allowed. Okay. We'll miss you. I thought you would love to engage at this stage. The other questions earlier that were raised, I know that they were not necessarily responded to. I thought that the presentation would cover some of the questions, but especially by Honourable Member Mfula there. But let's engage Honourable Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say that it's the unanimous decision of the committee that we would drop. If the Indian trip go ahead, we would rather take this from the matter than on routing. And Chair, on a more serious note, just a discrepancy on the budget summary. You say the situation is that if you take salary support and project, you get to a figure of 174 million, more or less. And in an earlier presentation, we heard that you've got 387 people, that's when they were there, and the salary bill is 132 million. So there's a discrepancy of some 40 million there somewhere, I don't know where. If you could just explain that to me. Then I would just like to know, the board of directors, you say you spend, I just want to know how many directors there are and how many members there are on the provincial boards. So if you can just give that information, please. The other question is not relevant at this way. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions are going to be based on the what was presented by the 3 days. The first one mentioned, during her presentation, she mentioned the fact that there was, they were involved with community work program. So there is community work program in the local government and cooperation department. I just want to know how they link. And as a committee, now as a committee on our professions, we are not happy about that program because most of its funds go to service providers. So I just want to know if you are talking about the same thing. And if you are talking about the same thing, how do you address the issue that the money that's supposed to, I don't know whether they are the same thing or if it's just the name that is the same. But if it's not the name that is the same, we would like to know how far you have intervened with this lot of budget that goes to service providers and not to the people, the youth that need it in the community. And the other one was on, yeah, that one was, the national, yeah, that's the one, the other one was on construction. He analyzed, you presented it very well, but he spoke about construction. And how do you link with EPWP? Because that program should be addressing the needs of the youth, the number of youth in the community. And how far do you take them on training? Because if you use all those skills to skill these children who are involved, these youth who are involved in the EPWP, I can say you are doing a very good work. And I wonder where all these donations go to, which areas of the country do they go to? Because none of the presentations that was presented address. I'm from a rural area. I work, my constituency is very, very active. And those two administrators know everything that is happening there. But you are very good project. Don't go through our constituency offices. I just want to know how you advertise and you recruit all these volunteers, because you mentioned that volunteer program under the other lady, under, you mentioned AFCON and what, and I think that is where our poor and unemployed youth in the communities who hardly have shoes could have come and benefited from this program, and it has been exposed to some of the many programs that are happening, but definitely nothing is happening in my constituency. You can talk to me, the three of you, and I'll tell you that none of them is happening in my area. If we can know in which areas these programs are happening, because all these youths are the same all over. This beautiful conference in Kailisha, which has been taken to Tarazimbi, they have been very happy there because nothing is happening there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Mashifa. Honorable Dr. Pandey, you have a question? Honorable Panamela, before you leave.
Thank you very much. I wanted to seek some clarity. It's only a question of clarity. We've seen in this one slide on page, it says education and training. It says there are currently 18,783 opportunity seekers seeking different opportunities. I just wanted to know how many of those have the NYDA been able to assist. And similarly, with the 3,000 people that are seeking bursaries for 2013, whether we could hear how many people have been able to access bursaries. I just wanted to get clarity on that. Thank you.
I thought that one of the members would ask questions, but make a suggestion somewhere. But I'm sure maybe it's still going to come. This is Tandile.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to find out, in terms of skills, how is the relationship in terms of skills? How is the relationship with school seekers? Because what I pick up, I see the youth hopping. They hop from one teacher to another.
So this year there will be a Brexit. Next year they have a Brexit. The other year they have a construction seat. So what kind of monitoring mechanism do you have in place to monitor these interventions that are done by different stakeholders in terms of you? And in terms of your partnership, because I can see in the exit you need to partner. How NYDA is partnering with other stakeholders? When it comes to economic development, how do you partner with the Department of Trade and Industry? Because you find stakeholders, and how do you partner with all agencies that have got funding? Because you'll find that this agency saying, I'm giving funding, and I can check it when I see in your records, you've got co-ops, you've got individuals, all this. What? I also say, now here I'm questioning the monitoring. You don't have to really include it. But how do you monitor that they do benefit all these institutions? In terms of volunteering, who is volunteering? Lower class? Higher class? Because it does happen. Us with qualifications and degrees, we are not volunteers. That is reality. So in the volunteering system, I'm asking this question so that the next report can be able to outline. Because most of the time volunteers in terms of whether it's used or older people are people at lower rank. But when it comes to opportunities we'll be giving to the certain class, the degree them, the what them. And so it does not, for me, that's why I'm treating this because when I go around, I see it happening. So, I've learned all in all. And then in terms of finances, I know the last time when I asked this question, someone was very confused. I'm still asking the same question. When we talk about salary, whether it's province or regions affect, it's salary. Now, why are they divided? That's the question. Salary is salary. Whether it's product-based, whether it's temporary, the fact remains it's salary. And when I look at what is happening, I pick up that, hey, salary is high. They are more plus minus. If it's not 40-50% of the grant, what? I don't think people shouldn't get paid. Justify it to me, justify it. Because at this moment, when I look at your job, at your activities, what's happening now, and looking at the way your salaries are, I don't know who's getting what. I'm just calculating the figures that I see. It does not support the what you're saying. And also, maybe say, I don't know, I'm not an accountant. Administration and overhead, and then the disbursement, I think project disbursement and special project. And then it was explained that some of the special projects is for the chairperson and the CEO's office, which simply means those are discretionary funds, if I'm right. It's the discretion of the chairperson and discretion of the CEO, and then disbursement. Administration, I'm just confused. Can we just talk in a layman's language? This one is an accountant language. Speaking my language, because I thought that over here, in administration, for me, it's like one of the same thing. You just need to elaborate, use this money for that, and you use this money for that, and you use this money for something else. So can it can be, because I thought that because it's a workshop, we will get a detailed info so that we can start to learn from each other how these things are working out. Maybe if I have extra questions, Chairperson, I'll ask them, okay. We know it very well that most of our youth are not on computers. But I pick up that we do the same mistakes that are done by other advanced agencies or whatever. So you say our information is on the website. Penny. Nothing. Right in news. Mean so far away from everything, you struggle to get access on your phone. And you can't tell me that I must go to the website to get information about you. All I'm trying to say is the communication. How do we communicate to our youth? It's a good thing that we are using municipalities. I know some of the municipalities are very resistant. For whatever reason, they are resistant. Even including government departments. They are very resistant to some of the things. Because someone will just feel that I don't like that and they adopt an action. That's why I agree with it. But I'm saying, if I'm staying in me, then I'll just speak Afrikaans. When you speak to me English or Russian, I can't even hear you. And it's all I'm trying to say, the communication channel should be broadened in such a way that a person in me can know that the NYDA is existing, the communication line. If you put it on website, even in township, we're still struggling to access computers. So our information should be in such a way. And my other question is to say, in terms of working with international organizations, like for example, ILO, International Labour Organization, inside their program, they've got programs that deals exactly with rural people, and it's a very good program. I would suggest that you tap into their side and start to have a partnership with them, because maybe we can learn more from them. Thank you, Susan.
No, Barry, Barry Tabatemashu, Miano, I go born in my niece. I miss a lot, you know. Okay. No, it's fine. Well, thank you very much. Now you remind me, Mr. Namere, of something, you know, but she will mention it herself.
No, Chairperson, I could hear you were really begging for us to be helpful, and the Honourable CEO mentioned the fact that you came in the biggest obstacles are the municipalities, and I wanted to offer to be helpful in saying that I will speak to those municipalities that the IFP has got control to make sure that we've got people come in. Because at the end of the day, what the CEO said is very serious, that unless a young person can access the Durban office, they've got no access to youth services. And I would make the undertaking then to see what I can do from my side, to see in the municipality that we can help to invite the NYD in. So I want to be helpful before I leave. No, it's more than one. We gained from municipalities in the by-elections, let me remind you.
I don't know. You see, when a member is not speaking, you don't interject, eh? You don't interject when a member is speaking.
I'm out of order, please, Chairperson.
That's what I'm saying to him. We know that, but don't do it again.
Well, I think that we're doing exactly what what I said that we should do, not just to get the questions, but to say, how can we assist? But, CEO, I think the other question that Honorable Mfulo raised earlier, that was not responded to, it is related to this question of offices, especially at, what do you call them, branch or what, local level, eh? Or is where this, where you don't have offices, you know where. But I see here in the report, on page 6, or page 6, slide 11, I don't know who was reporting here, was it Mr. Pascal or Papa, who was reporting here? Huh? Excuse me? The one, that is, this part one that we have presented now, this presentation, this last presentation, on page 6 of that. NYF implementation, then the title is Education, Training, Career Guidance. On that slide, 11. The last bullet point says that all 14 NYTA branches also offer continuous career guidance to schools and youth walking into the branches throughout the year. If in fact,
is this what we want to achieve? But I just want to say something now, you know, that please do not tell us things that are not factual. I'm being serious now. Don't tell us things that are not factual, because at the committee we go out and find out ourselves. So I hope that what you're telling us here is a fact. That's one. But you know, CEO, I'll refer to you because there's no boss. You know what have not CEO, what we have not spoken about yet is the attitude of this leadership. I wish everyone could listen. I just wish everyone could listen. I'm saying what we haven't spoken about here is the attitude of this leadership when dealing with these people. One of Mashiach speaks about the constituencies. And in my experience, I would really have loved you to comment on how you treat people who come to your offices. Because I have my own, what you call it, the feedback that I get from NYCA doesn't make me very happy, you know. In fact, where a person is told to come tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, and you, as leadership, don't think that, I don't know how much you care about the people who come to NYCA. I don't think that you care. Because you allow, you say to a person, come tomorrow, the person comes tomorrow, the person comes to the office, the person who is supposed to be seen is not there. It's only then that the person will pick up the phone and the applicant must look for this person now who is supposed to provide service. I don't know how serious we take the people who come to your office. I see, I hear what you're saying here, the nice thing that you're doing here. But in practice, I hear that you have this partnership, so the partnership that you're talking about with this one and this one, so I don't know, you the CEO, you dedicate these people to do things. Do you think that these people, they do what they call a thing? Everybody dedicates at NYDA. I'm talking experience. I'm giving you feedback now. If you want me to mention names, I can, but I'm not in the position to do that now. But I can if necessary. Everyone delegate. Tell me, if you delegate and everyone delegate and everyone delegate, who does the work? I mean, the people raise frustrations about what is happening at NYDA. Honorable Fuller says, people phone NYDA. And I didn't hear the, what you call the conversation on courses that you're speaking about. But I still want to hear people saying NYCA is doing very well. I mean the young people talking on the radio, but name it often. If they come to my constituent office, come to Mashiach, and I say go to NYCA, they say to me, you go there yourself. I'm not going to go there because of the treatment that they get Mr. Ngobeni. You're talking about someone here, I think in the earlier what you call the presentation, you're talking about the monitoring and evaluation. I don't know how much monitoring it is done. And by me mentioning this, remember that even the Auditor General did raise this point about monitoring. Why? Because of the kind of treatment that people experience in NYCA. I mean, to me, everyone is important. If you're not going to help the person, there's nothing wrong to say to the person, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you. So that the person goes away disappointed, but at least having been told politely that we can't help you. Rather than saying, come tomorrow, come tomorrow, come tomorrow, come tomorrow. I mean, that one, as we all, I really, really take exception. So, I think we should have people that, who will work for NYCA. This partner that we're talking about, I think there must be a little bit of respect to our people. But also, just what I would like to understand, there are many partnerships that you turn about, this is what you're doing, this is what you're doing. I just want to understand something. Is it what you're doing or someone else is doing this? Take, for instance, slide 13, education and training technical skills. You have the whole list there. Very importantly, these are the skills that in South Africa we don't have. Your electricity, plumbing, what. The country imports and sets these skills. So. But if you're doing these skills, are you doing them yourself? What is the relationship between yourself and the people who offer these skills? So. Now sometimes I don't want us to claim everything that we see. If SAFA, for instance, has got the volunteers, we say these are our volunteers because the volunteers are young. What role are we playing in these volunteers ourselves? Or we just saw volunteers and then we just say, no, these volunteers are our volunteers. Ourselves, so. You know, I think that it's a workshop, but one would really like us to be factual, because at the end of the day, these members, they are the ones that say to the house, NYTA does this. But we must be convinced ourselves that NYTA is doing this. For instance, I think that the report is fine. NYTA has got a database, that scholarship that NYTA offers. I think that we need much more a better report than this, so that ourselves. In fact, we spoke earlier. I spoke about visiting. We really need to be sure that these things are happening, so that the NYTA says 376 million is not sufficient, then we know that we can support NYTA. I know Commissioner Lord, you like saying, I say that NYTA must succeed. We all want NYTA to succeed. It has it's playing an important role. But I think the challenge that we're sitting with NYTA is how it is implementing these programs and the maybe kind of support that we can give ourselves. Now, I think that honorable members and colleagues from NYTA, we will respond to these questions. I think there are a lot of questions. We'll respond to these questions after lunch. Yeah, but there's a lot that I'm interested to honor from Matagana. I mean, we speak about green economy, 5.7 billion, but it is there. I think those are interesting things, but all of us, we must know how is the youth going to assess this, so that we can be able as members to say how to support them to that.
Chef, I won't be long because maybe lunch is ready. So I don't want to torture myself for that. But I just want to, I still have a short question. There was a slide that shows the income, and there was a slide, a figure of 34 million, which is the planned income in terms of the repayment. I just want to check the prospect of that in terms of the repayment materializing as part of the income part. And then I wanted to ask the question, but I was reading the slides here, and I look, you say the staff establishment is 500, and what is now filled is 300, about 87. And then you are going to advertise other posts. What I did want to understand, in your budget, therefore, the budget that was budgeted that you have in the current year is of the total establishment. And therefore, you're hoping to have a what you call faith on the post, unfilled post. I don't want to call it that, because I'm not quite sure whether the non-implementation or appointment has resulted into a weakness of the implementation of a program in terms of the APT that has been designed. I don't know, maybe you know better.
Then I wanted to ask you, yes.
Well, then the last question I wanted to ask is in relation to the Act, the implementation of the Act. I think Section 7 of the Act obligate the state organs to take into account the priority as stipulated by NYDA in the activities. Otherwise, you mentioned earlier about the fact that there is health must do certain things because you can't do it. So I just want to find in the implementation of the particular section of the Act, what is your take? Do you, because the Act says they have to take that into account, there has to be a report on what has been implemented, there has to be that whatever has been reported must be published. What is your take in terms of that facilitation aspect of it? The last one is really the model, funding model. What is your take? Do you think the funding model as it stands is sustainable? In terms of the, you talked about you should have been close to a billion rand by now if the previous wish list was taken into account, but we're still not there. Now, I mean, I don't want to go back to the visit or the interprovincial visit that happened, go to that office, you find the equipment working or not working, and makeshift. I think the CEO talked about the makeshift in terms of the evolution of the Act and what the vacuum that has been created. Well, moving forward in terms of that vacuum, the vacuum that has to come to the vacuum that must be provisioned for funding, for the implementation and access. Well, what is the thinking around that in terms of the last time I had a whispering about possibility of amendment of the Act, the possibility of this in terms of Navy provision. But you probably have been the practitioner and doctor of the situation, you can tell better in terms of that. Is the model sustainable? Or in terms of looking at the Section 7 of the Act, something else can complement to make them more sustainable.
Yeah, all our members, I suggest that at this stage we break, Mr. Maureen and the team, and then we are convened at quarter past? Okay. You said quarter past two. Yeah, can you reconvene at quarter past? Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.